Grace and peace in the name of the triune God. Amen. It is a joy to be with you. I am Sarah Cogsell, and I have the great privilege to serve as Associate Director for Hopewood Outdoors, which most of you probably know as Lutheran Outdoor Ministries in Ohio. And I am grateful to Pastor Adam for the invitation. And I was able to be with you last night as well, so it is a joy to spend the weekend. I spend most of my time as Associate Director at LMC at Hopewood Pines, but also get to spend time at Camp Luther at Hopewood Shores up on Lake Erie, and we do day camps across the three synods of Ohio during the summer as well. I've only been in this role almost 9 months, so still new and still learning. But over the last 9 months, I have gotten to know Pastor Adam a little bit, and therefore by association, St. John Lutheran. And I had the pleasure of welcoming Pastor Adam and some of your youth to camp this past summer. They spent part of our week two of residential youth camp with us. And because of these interactions and a little bit of research that I have done on my own, I have some things I'm going to share with you about what I know about you, or at least what I think I know about you. So this congregation's mission is rooted in three words, and those three words are centered, strengthened, and sent. But they aren't words that stand alone, but words placed within the context of your mission. And when done so, they proclaim that this is a congregation centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, and sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. So this is why you believe you exist. It's your purpose. It identifies you apart from others. And yet, there are other ways, of course, in which you can be identified as well. Although this ministry, I'm sure, has ebbed and flowed over the years, it has existed in some way for almost 200 years, which means it has been around over 100 years longer than Lutheran Memorial Camp at Hopewood Pines. And so I'm curious about this congregation's connection to the camp's inception. As the closest Lutheran congregation to the camp today, I'm curious about how this partnership has existed over the years. It's my understanding that you've long been supporters of both our maple syrup and apple butter festivals. Special offerings from both your Welka and Men in Mission groups have gone to support various initiatives over the years. You've been a parish partner. You've been a part of previous Easter vigils. You've had retreats at camp, and you've sent youth to camp. Perhaps some of you have even more to share. I learned from a member last evening that she actually learned to swim at the pool at LMC. So this is just some of what makes up who you are and what you're about. And that's just looking at you collectively. This congregation is also made up of individuals who have been named and claimed in the waters of baptism. Each of you with your own unique personality and gifts. Each of you a beloved child of God at work in this world. And so in today's scripture passage, we see Jesus ask a question. He wants to know what people are understanding about who he is. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus asks. It's a pretty significant question, isn't it? And I have to wonder what is going through his mind when he asks the question. Has he heard for himself what people are saying? Does he think that there are those who understand? Does he think his disciples know? Does he expect them to be uncertain? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. These are the names that the disciples have heard attributed to Jesus. They're big names, well-known leaders, and it would have been complimentary for someone to be in the same category as any one of them. And yet, when Jesus hears his disciples' answer, Jesus does what Jesus does best. He immediately asks the follow-up question. But who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? This is also a big question. Jesus wants to know what his own followers are thinking. Who do they understand this man to be? The one that they've left everything behind to follow. What have they grasped at this point? What might they still be missing? Peter is the one to step forward and to speak up. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's a good day for Peter. If you come back next week, you'll see that it doesn't last very long. But at this moment, Peter makes this very bold declaration. Peter has been moved by the Spirit to declare what he knows about Jesus. Peter names Jesus as God's Son, the long-awaited Messiah. Peter is confident that he knows who Jesus is and what he is about. But what about us? What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? How do you articulate Jesus' identity? The words we use matter. They can communicate what we believe. They can tell others what we think, how we feel, what we're passionate about, what we see as unjust. The words we use to talk about church, our congregations, our camps, our faith, they all speak to something much larger than ourselves. And something I really believe is also bigger than the limitations of the words themselves. Which is why it's not only important to think about the words we use, but also to be mindful about what gets proclaimed in the very living of our lives in the day to day. Perhaps this is even more important. A saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi is preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. The way we show up in the world, the way we show up in relationship with others, the way we show up in community, it can communicate a faith rooted in relationship with Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But discerning who Jesus is and living a life of proclamation isn't necessarily easy work. It takes time, it takes community, takes spending time in scripture and prayer and being open to God's Spirit moving among us. Striving to live a life as a disciple in our broken world can be a challenge, especially when it isn't always welcomed. And it sort of goes against the worldly ideals. It doesn't make us any more money, it doesn't bring us about worldly success and doesn't win us any awards. And yet, as God's beloved children, it is part of our very relationship with God to seek to understand and then to live a life that declares our understanding. In our gospel text, we encounter a confident Peter, but we also encounter a Jesus who is full of blessing. This vision of blessing includes his church, a world where death will not prevail, and a people gifted with the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that's just what we read today. We know that there is more, much more blessing poured out throughout Scripture. And we know that there are blessings we also encounter in this worship. We receive blessing when our sins are forgiven, when we're welcomed to the table, fed with bread and wine, and even as we are sent back out. The call of the church in us as individual disciples is to share the love of Jesus. And there are lots of ways this can be done. St. John has its role to play, as does Hopewood Outdoors. We each have our unique missions rooted in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. These ministries should be safe spaces where our questions and confident proclamations can be named. In community, we can support one another to live into our missions, knowing that we are better together. We can learn from one another. We have something to offer the other. And to remember and be reminded that we are not alone. It's my hope that we can continue to find ways to do this together, to strengthen one another's mission, and to be partners in this proclamation of love. Because I don't know about you, but I truly believe that this world desperately needs people like us to live lives rooted in love and mercy, to live lives shaped by inclusion and compassion and grace, and to live lives that proclaim, yes, death is real, but death never has the final word. My friends, we are God's beloved, equipped and empowered by the Spirit to proclaim in word and deed God's love for us and God's love for all of creation. Let it be so. Amen.